The notion that a radical is one who hates his country is naive and usually idiotic. He is, more likely, one who loves his country more than the rest of us, and is thus more disturbed than the rest of us when he sees it debauched. He's not a bad citizen turning to crime. He's a good citizen driven to despair. And that was said by Henry Louis Mencken. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, folks, what a world we live in. And I say that because things are certainly escalating around the place. It's interesting here in Byron Bay, where I live. For the last week, it would seem as if we have been invaded by the police. I think it was last weekend there was 70 police out in town last Friday night. And I live in a very small town, folks, and so to see 70 police walking around town when there's usually something like 3 or possibly 4 was quite a spectacle. We had a black four-wheel drive with public order and riot squad emblazoned on the side, parked in the middle of the road, so everybody had to drive around it, up near the beach. We had a huge bus parked up near the beach with police command centre on it. And we had breathalyzer units set up just on the outskirts of town. We had groups of police simply wandering around in packs of 8, many of them wearing body armour and all brandishing a variety of deadly weapons, including guns, tasers and batons, handcuffs, pepper spray, all the usual great party stuff that they like to use. We had sniffer dogs wandering around town, accosting people in nightclubs and hotels, and we even had the mounted police doing laps up and down the main street. It was a real spectacle, folks, and I was actually out at a hotel talking to a friend, and I had a police dog come up and accost me. I asked the police officer to please control their animal, and she just kind of looked at me. And I said to the police officer, "This is a little bit of overkill, don't you think?" And they said, "Oh, well, we're doing it for your public safety because it's Schoolies Week." And so that was the reason there were all of these 70 police in the town here, folks, because some 17-year-old school kids had finished school for the year. And there was probably an extra maybe 30 or 40 kids wandering around that night. And I don't know how much the council would have spent on the exercise, but it seems that they considered these children to be such a threat to social order that they decided it would be good to demonstrate a massive police presence in this quiet little town of Byron Bay. Quite remarkable to see the mentality of the local council to put on something like this to begin with. I mean, it really does boggle the mind. All of the locals were walking around town saying, "Well, this is just downright embarrassing." Because it really was, folks. It was embarrassing to see this many armed thugs walking around town. And what was also incredibly embarrassing was the mentality that they were displaying. I mean, you've got huge men walking around in body armour to protect themselves against these frail school kids that had just left school in the quiet seaside town of Byron Bay. But then I suppose it is a nice place to come for a holiday, even for a police officer, because that's pretty well what they did. And what we really saw on the weekend was a massive show of force just because they can do so. They just want people to get used to having this amount of police around. I mean, all these kids are just leaving school and they want these kids to have it indelibly imprinted into their brain that this is what the real world is like. And don't you dare ever even think of stepping outside of the lines, because we've got all of these big guys with deadly weapons who are just waiting to put you in your place. I mean, I've seen this type of police presence in places before, folks, but to do it here in Byron Bay, which is just a seaside town, I mean, it's not a very big place, just goes to show how far they are willing to push things. And pushing things is what they're certainly doing, folks. There's some disturbing news coming out of New Zealand as well, because it appears that the government is attempting to pass a food bill. Apparently it's already seen its first viewing and it's up for another one next year, and if the second viewing passes, then the bill will basically turn what is a human right to grow food and to share it into a government-authorized privilege that can be summarily revoked. The food bill will make it illegal to distribute food without authorization, and it defines food in such a way that it includes nutrients, seeds, natural medicines, essential minerals, and drinks, including water. So this is basically saying you can't give anything that you grow to anybody. You can't even give your neighbors water. If you do so, you may be subject to prosecution. And by controlling seeds, the bill also takes the power to grow food away from the public and puts it in the hands of seed companies such as Monsanto. And even if you're going to have like a local market stall or, you know, what they call cottage industries, you will need authorization to sell food at any of these sorts of places. You can't just go to a market and sell your food anymore. And this is all, of course, coming back to Codex Alimentarius, folks. Now, this bill isn't in yet, but this is what they are doing in New Zealand. And, folks, New Zealand is a place that basically told America it couldn't bring its nuclear warships there. So in the eyes of activists and in the eyes of most people, New Zealand presents itself as a country that values human rights and values the environment and wants to stand up for the rights of the people. But what we've seen in New Zealand is the introduction of carbon tax along with Australia, and now we are seeing a very, very determined effort to ban the growing of food, to ban the distribution of food, to ban the distribution of seeds, to undermine any efforts the people may be taking to become self-sufficient within their local communities. Homegrown food and some or all seed cannot be even bartered amongst people or given away. And folks, look, just step back and think about this for a minute. This bill has the potential to make it illegal for you to hand your neighbour a tomato or a head of lettuce over the fence. It makes it illegal for you to say, gee, these watermelons that I grew this year are spectacular. Take some of the seeds so you can grow yourself some spectacular watermelons next year. They're making it a crime to do this, folks. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. They would even consider writing legislation like this, let alone enacting it. I mean, in all honesty, you hear things like this and you think, this is just not possible. There's no way that the people are going to allow the government, who are simply our employees, to create legislation that makes it illegal to be self-sufficient and makes it illegal for you to feed your neighbours. And it just boggles the mind, and yet there it is. It's right there. You can go to a website called nzfoodsecurity.org, and you can check out what they're saying about this bill. And as I said, folks, it's not in yet, but this is what they are attempting to bring in. And you can bet your bottom dollar that if they pull it off in New Zealand, then the methodology they used will be copied and the plan will be extrapolated out around the world. Because they do this with everything. Doesn't matter what country they try it in. Gun control, this control, that control. They'll try it somewhere until they get it right. And then they just copy the model. And you find that everybody around the planet starts doing this at the same time. And it isn't a coincidence, folks. It isn't a coincidence you get certain food bills and certain regulations brought in all countries across the board. I mean, we've even caught the Australian Prime Minister and the Canadian Prime Minister making the same speech. And I guarantee it was probably made by the British Prime Minister as well. Or something similar would have been. And then you'll probably hear it in America as well. I mean, it all happens roughly along the same timescale in all countries, folks, across Europe, across Australia and Canada and America and England. They all bring these laws in at roughly the same time. And this doesn't happen by coincidence. All the world is indeed a stage, my friends, and if you can keep that in mind when you're looking at the international news or even the workings within your own country, you can most definitely begin to see patterns. And look, the only way we're going to fix any of this, folks, is through a united action of the people. The only way you're going to be able to stand up against things such as this ridiculous food bill they're attempting to bring in New Zealand is to have a united community. I mean, if this bill is passed, I would suggest that the first thing everybody in New Zealand should do is start growing as much food as they can and giving away as much as they can. I think it deserves a strong communal effort to display an action of non-compliance and solidarity in the face of this, because no government has the right to take away someone's right to grow food or to share food, because this bill basically has the potential to make it illegal to show empathy to another. I don't know who writes this stuff, folks. I can't imagine the mentality of the mind behind such legislation, but here it is for all to see. Oh, and something that I forgot to mention then is that safety officers can raid your house to enforce this act. They can use whatever they need to do so, which includes deadly weapons, and they don't need a warrant to do so. And new legislation has also been passed which makes such workers immune from criminal or civil prosecution. So there should be no question as to how corrupt this new law is. And you can see what they're going to do, folks. They're going to employ safety officers who will be carrying out these raids from a pure state of ego. Because as I've often said, folks, when you take all the power away from someone and then give them power over somebody else, they tend to allow their egos to take over and are quite willing to inflict themselves upon anybody that they can. I spoke about a similar occurrence recently in the United States where we saw a lady raid a organic food party and force them to throw out all their food simply because she believed she had the power to do so. And so an effort has to be made by the people to stand up against all of this sort of stuff. I mean, that's the only way we're going to do it. There is no remedy at law. There is no legal remedy. There is no political remedy. There is no remedy in revolution. What is needed is a united act of non-compliance. We need things like the Occupy movement, only with a direction, and we need people to basically occupy themselves. And by that I mean we need people to stand in who and what they are, and to love their neighbours as they love themselves, and to work and support their neighbours, and to stand up as a community. Because we have to do this, folks. We absolutely have to do it. We can't allow our public servants to continue with these ridiculous pieces of legislation. And we can't allow the continuance of practices such as coal seam gas mining. As I've often said on other shows, each generation that exists on this planet are the custodians of the planet. We are the custodians of freedom and the custodians of life for future generations. And we cannot allow our public servants to destroy our water table. And make no mistake, folks, this is the fight of our lives. I've said before that if we do not stop coal seam gas mining and stop fracking right now, all the time we will have left on this planet is around 3 to 5 generations. And I'm viewing a generation as around about 20 to 25 years. Because I would say that at the present rate of destruction and the present rate of inaction by the people, if we do not rise to the occasion and change the direction in which the ship of state is currently sailing, then I estimate that we have around about 100 years of life left on this planet. And we've got about 12 months to turn this around, so it's important that people get active. Now, as I've said so very often, folks, everything is energy. And understanding energy and understanding how it works and understanding how reality works is key to removing the fear within yourself that keeps you divided from the people around you. And the reason I've kept coming back to this is because it's important for people to put away the stuff they have with their neighbours and the stuff they have with other people. Because it doesn't matter who it is or how they've wronged you, we have to get rid of this stuff and stand up for the common good, stand up for a common cause, realize that we are all in this together, and change the direction in which we're going. And I talk about energy, and I talk about the removal of fear, and I talk about a need to connect, because this is the way it has to be done, folks. And that's why I come back to energy all the time, because it's about that fear energy that exists inside us. Because that is what keeps us disconnected from people. And we need to remove that fear, because we really do need common unity with the people. All the talk that I've had on energy, folks, all the talks that I've had that have been aimed at empowering people, this has all been in order to help people remove fear from their psyche, because once they remove this fear, then they are able to stand up for what's right and they are able to make a difference. But the problem is that we're running out of time with which to do so. Now, as I said in the film that I made in 2008 or 2009 called The Awakening, there is a rise in frequency that is occurring, and there is an evolution in human consciousness that is occurring, but there are also forces that have been in control of this planet for a very long time that are attempting to control that evolution. They are attempting to control the direction that mankind takes from this point. You see, the direction in which we travel from this point is still highly debatable at this stage. Mankind could become very empowered and move towards a state of peace, prosperity, and abundance. Or we could simply go down a path of complete totalitarianism and become a more controlled, more machine-like society. And the choice of which direction we will go in remains with us, remains with the collective state of the human consciousness. And whichever way we go, whichever direction the race takes, what is required to make it happen is the participation of the people. Whether you're going to go in whichever direction, whether it's the path of enlightenment or the path of the machine, in order for either of them to happen, it takes the participation of the people. No one's going to flick a switch and make it happen. No one's going to suddenly wake up enlightened one day unless they participate in their own enlightenment, unless they participate in their own awakening. And no one's going to go down the road towards the machine world unless they participate. You see, either way, it comes down to the choices that are made by the people. And that's the important thing to remember, and it's also very encouraging to know that, because you're not going to be led down a path you don't want to go unless you choose to participate, unless you choose to comply with the will of those who are inflicting such a world upon you. But having said that, it's also important to understand that if you wish to prevent yourself from ever being led down the path to the machine world, again, it takes participation. You can't simply ignore what's going on around you and be silent in the face of all of this corruption and corporatization that we're seeing, because to do so is to agree with what's being done to you, because silence is acquiescence. So either way, you have to be an active participant, folks. You can't just sit there and believe that you will always be free. In order to be free, you have to participate in your own freedom. And unfortunately, that is something that many people fail to realize. They believe that if they just ignore everything, it will go away. But folks, nothing could be more unrealistic, because things are not going to go away if you ignore them. They're just going to get worse and eventually reach the point where it's impossible for you to ignore what's going on around you. But of course, by that time, it will also be impossible for you to do anything about it, because you allowed it to be created around you by your non-participation. It's like you're just sitting there watching TV while someone builds a brick wall around you, and you don't care as long as it doesn't affect the television signal. But then when the roof goes on, the signal will be shut down anyway, and there'll be little you can do about it, because all the walls were being built around you due to the conscious choice you made to ignore the reality of your surroundings. And one of the most interesting things about all this, folks, is how blatant it's all becoming. The police here in Byron Bay last weekend, the New Zealand government making it illegal to grow and share food. I mean, it's getting so in your face that it's just mind-boggling that some people can't see it. And what I've been attempting to help people understand is the fact that it's actually all fiction. It's just rules that people write on pieces of paper, because the ones who are doing it are public servants. They're just our employees, so we don't actually have to do any of this stuff, folks. I mean, I know I say it a lot, but it's absolutely true. You see, the real problem that we face is that people have simply forgotten who and what they are. And they just kind of blindly bumble along through their lives and let everybody else take care of things. They go home and the television tells them what's going on in the outside world, so they don't ever have to worry about it. All they have to worry about is whether they have enough stuff to have the social status they believe they have within their local neighbourhood and their local circle of friends. And that's what people tend to base their lives on. They never really look around them and step back and look at the world and notice what's going on while they haven't been looking. And what's going on, folks, is that all the resources of the world are being stolen. All the freedoms of the people of the world are being taken away. All the ability of the people to be self-sustaining and independent is being taken away from them, while the food that they are being forced to eat is being genetically modified to the point where it looks good but doesn't contain a great deal of nutrients. The people within society are forced to always collect paper and pay to support themselves within a system that is structured to have permanent growth, and where that permanent growth can only be achieved through the destruction of the planet. And this is literally what's happening, folks, and this is what's happening while people are just sitting at home watching their televisions and going to work collecting paper and vying for social status amongst their circle of friends or local community. And very few people seem to step back and question why they are forced to live their lives in this way, or why the world itself is even run this way. Because it makes absolutely no sense at all. And you might be someone out there who thinks, well, this is just things getting negative so that the human consciousness can get positive. Or you might be someone who thinks, well, this is the beast system. This is being run by the devil or Satan. And when it gets really, really bad, Christ is going to come back and save us. And to people who adopt either one of those mindsets, all I really have to say is that if I was the one that was running this system, I would be damn sure to put a couple of doctrines like that in place in order to keep people in a state of inaction and work as hard as I can to indelibly print it into people's minds that they do not have to do anything because they are going to be saved. If you were someone who was strip mining and destroying a planet, it would be very, very important to create that type of belief system within the inhabitants of that planet. And when it was getting to a stage where things were getting obviously bad, I believe it would also be extremely beneficial to genetically modify the race and dumb them down as much as possible in order to keep them working to destroy the environment which supports them. Because you can't have people that think too clearly if you're going to do this type of thing. You can't have people who are intelligent enough to realize that they cannot survive without the planet. You must have these people utterly dependent upon paper to survive, and they must work to collect this paper at the expense of everything and everybody around them, because they believe that it is only the paper which can provide access to the things they need to sustain their lives. But the reality is that what they need to sustain their lives is being destroyed by their very actions and their very belief that they need to collect this paper. It's a very clever system, folks, and One only has to look at the state of the world and the state of suffering and degradation that is being experienced by all life forms upon this world to see the perfection and efficiency that can be achieved by using this operating system. Half the battle is just seeing that it's there, folks. And so it's quite important that people become aware of this, and it's quite important that people realize the power that they hold personally and realize that what exists between themselves and the government is in fact a trust agreement, which is something that I've spoken to you about quite often in the past. And the reason that I've brought this up so much and the reason that I've attempted to empower people with this knowledge is because there is no legal or political remedy for this situation. The situation that we currently face can only be turned around by the people. And I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, folks. So, being realistic about it, when we look at the world today, what we see is a society that is running headlong towards its own destruction. And these are the choices that we're being provided with, folks. We either have to stop the machine from traveling in the direction it is currently moving, or we have to simply allow the system to implode in the hope that those who survive the implosion will be of the right mind frame to create a better society. But the question is that is that type of attitude not essentially defeatist? Hopeful, but defeatist. Because I do see a lot of this attitude within people. They just would prefer to hide away and allow the system to simply destroy itself, and so that they may be sheltered from it and live to see and create a better world. But folks, the way the system is going and the destruction that is being wrought against the planet at the hands of this system is something that cannot be simply ignored. It's just too important. Because with the genetic modification of the planet, and this is being carried out, folks, it's being carried out through food additives, through control of seed, through genetic modification of seed, through chemtrails, through all sorts of things, vaccinations. There's no doubt that this is what's going on. So if you take that into account and you take in the destruction of the water table that's happening with coal seam gas mining, and then you've got other little issues such as Fukushima, which is pouring vast amounts of nuclear waste into the ocean as we speak, and then you've got the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico, which is still leaking into the Gulf of Mexico. It hasn't stopped. It's still going. It's still pumping oil into the ocean. So when you take all these things into account, the question becomes, well, where are you going to hide? Where are you going to hide away? Where are you going to rebuild this better society from? Where are you going to start? Because if the water is polluted and the air is polluted, the oceans are polluted and radioactive, and the soil is salinated from fracking and all the plants have been genetically modified, then how in the world do you expect to be able to build this new reality? How do you expect to be able to see a civilization simply destroy itself and a new one rise from the ashes if this civilization is allowed to continue doing the type of damage that it's doing? Because ultimately, with the amount of waste that's being pumped onto this planet, with the amount of destruction that's being wrought, and most especially the destruction that's being instigated against the oceans and the groundwater, then it will take literally millions and millions of years for this planet to recover, if it manages to recover at all. Because as I've said before, at the present rate of destruction that we are allowing to be carried out by our inaction and by our compliance with this system, then there's a very good chance that this planet will end up looking like Mars or the Moon within a very short amount of time. Now, we need to stop all of these wars. We need to stop coal seam gas mining. We don't need the imposition of things like carbon tax, which is simply a tax on breathing. It shouldn't be a tax on carbon. It should be a tax on dioxins and heavy metals and things that are pollutants. And sure, there are lots of carbon-based things that are pollutants, such as carbon monoxide that comes from car exhausts, but that should be a monoxide tax, not a carbon tax, because carbon includes humanity. Carbon includes people breathing. It means that if you have 5 kids, you have a bigger carbon footprint than a family with 3 kids, because they breathe more. Now, we are carbon-based life forms, folks. You can't have a tax on carbon. Carbon is required for life to exist. Put the tax on the pollutants and not on the carbon. And if you're even going to impose such a tax, don't pass the costs down to the people, because the people are already being totally ripped off and robbed and raped by this system in its every possible way that it can find to do so. So we don't need a further tax on the people. What we need is for corporations to be removed of their status as people, and for the people who run these corporations to be held accountable for their actions and put the tax on them, those people who create the pollution, if you're going to tax this stuff at all. But better still, let's just stop polluting. Let's just introduce an honest system. Let's just release the free energy technology. And let's run society in a completely different way. Carbon isn't the problem. The problems are things such as heavy industry, coal seam gas mining, and aerial spraying. And there are free energy technologies that we could be using right now. There's one that was demonstrated at a TED talk recently that can be made out of carbon. We've got these technologies now, but you're never going to see any of them released, because the government doesn't want them released, because the government works for the corporations. They're not interested in helping society. If someone tries to present one of these things to the world in mass, they'll simply write some legislation that ties the whole thing up in red tape for years to come, or they will buy the patents themselves and stash them in the bottom drawer so they can continue to rape the planet. So that's the purpose of patents, folks, so that nobody can copy anything. Oh no, you can't make that because I own the patent. It doesn't matter if it will save the world. It's all about the paperwork, you know, it's what's on the paper. It's all paper-based. This whole system is paper-based. And we need to move away from it and create a better world, because it's right there at our fingertips waiting for us to create. We just have to want it badly enough and to participate in its creation. And that's all it would take, folks. Non-compliance to the old system, to the old world, and the conscious creation of the new one. And again, it can only be done by the people. I admit there are some very large obstacles to achieving this, but it always comes back to the same thing, really, doesn't it? Because the largest obstacle is uniting the people, because the people feel so divided from each other, because they are constantly in this state of inner fear. But all you have to do is start giving to them. All you have to do is lead by example. All you have to do is be the change that you want to see in the world. Connect with the community around you. And we can stop the machine in its tracks, and we can build the new world that we need so very much. And indeed, folks, it's got to the stage where it's imperative that we do this, because otherwise life on this planet may not survive. And the only way we're going to achieve the better world that we need, folks, is to stop participating in this old one. All the soldiers out there need to wake up to themselves and stop fighting the wars. The police most certainly need to wake up to themselves and stop enforcing corporate corruption and start helping the people build a better society. Some of the disgusting actions I've seen from police in some of the Occupy movements, it's absolutely atrocious that they should be treating peaceful protesters in this way, when what they should be doing is working to improve the world, because, as I just said, the world is moving headlong towards its own destruction, and this is being instigated by the corporate machine that is currently running the world. So we need people to stop participating with it. And look, all you've got to do is start helping each other. I've been saying this to you for 3 years. All you have to do is start helping each other. Get to know your neighbours. And if you are in a position to do so, then begin to grow some heritage seed food and sharing it with them. Share it with everybody you can. And if they attempt to bring in legislation such as we're seeing in New Zealand, there needs to be mass non-compliance to this legislation because they have no right to take away these rights from people. They have no right to keep society in a state of shortage because there is not one person on this planet that should be in a state of shortage. We have enough resources, we have enough technology, we have enough abundance of everything to feed, clothe and house every single person on this planet. We have the means to do that. But all we do is impose a monetary system which creates a state of perpetual shortage, and then we use the money that exists within that system not to feed the people or to benefit society, but to create a war machine to kill off as many people as possible and a corporate machine to rape as many resources as possible. And all of this happens because the people comply with it. The people go and work in these companies. They go and fight these wars. They go and work on these gas fields. They should just stay home and plant a garden and share it with their neighbours and get their whole neighbourhood to do that and stop supporting this system. And suddenly you wouldn't have to work very hard at all. I don't know, a lot of people just don't seem to want to do it. A lot of people will sit there and say, well, it's all very well for you to say that, but I still have to work. And that's okay. You've got to work, you've got to work. We all have to make a living because of this system. But the point is that even while we worked, if we stopped competing with each other, if we stopped viewing material acquisition as the meaning of life and began building trust and support through the community around us, then we would put ourselves in a position where we had strong enough communities to stand up and lead the way that our society was to move in. You know, it's we the community, it's we the people who hold all the power. We are the ones who can decide which direction humanity is going in. But instead of that, we allow ourselves to be led down the garden path by a bunch of people who have sold us out. We've got governments who don't serve the best interests of the people, but serve the best interests of the corporations. And these corporations are run by a group of megalomaniacal power brokers who believe that they have a right to rule and to decide the direction that all humanity takes. And adherence to the system that this group of people have created is what has caused all of the problems that we face. It's what's caused all of the shortage, all the homelessness, all the destruction, all the wanton waste of human life and obliteration of resources, the pollution, the damage to the environment, the immeasurable loss of species, both animal and vegetable. All of it is a product of the system that these people have created, that they've put in place, and that is fed by this money machine based on permanent growth. But the thing is that all of it is held together and all of it is run, ultimately, by the people. It's all run by us. And all we have to do is turn away from that and start helping those around us and run our community ourselves. And this is how we do it. This is how we move society in a different direction, move the human race in a different direction. It doesn't matter what legislation has been enacted by public servants that has been put there to prevent us from doing so, because all they are words on pieces of paper. They're a set of rules that don't serve humanity in any way, shape or form. And there's no way you can claim that they do, because all you have to do is look at the state of the world and look at the state of humanity. And that's why I keep coming back to this, folks. That's why I keep coming back to energy. That's why I keep coming back to the importance of building community and building trust with those around you, of letting go all of that stuff that you have with anybody that you believe may have wronged you. Because ultimately, we are facing a very, very serious situation. And the situation is being perpetuated because we don't look at it, because we're too busy fighting amongst ourselves. We're too busy having stuff with each other and worrying about our own little corner of the universe rather than seeing the universe as a whole and seeing how easily we could fix it. Because all the stuff is fiction. It's all fiction. We're all each other. We're all just as valid as each other. And as I've so often said, the people who wronged you have only done so because of the perspective that life has given them up to that point. And that perspective has come from a system that is inherently corrupt and is designed to create people who are disconnected from themselves, and many of whom think in very sociopathic ways, because the system itself is designed to create self-importance and obedience within the subject. So let it go, folks, because we all need to stand together. We all need to stand up for what's right and create the better world, but it has to be a co-creation. But you're not going to co-create it through meditation. You have to co-create it by participating in reality around you. And I still see all of these problems as an opportunity to do this. And sure, folks, it's quite understandable that a great deal of this information may seem quite overwhelming to people. When you really begin to figure out what's going on and figure out how the world works, at first it can come as quite a rude shock. Quite often it can scare the living daylights out of people. But that's because people lapse into fear. And what they are ultimately in fear of is fear of death. Ultimately, it all comes down to that. Fear that you'll be incarcerated and die. Fear that you'll be poisoned and die. Fear that you'll be homeless and die. Most fear towards self is ultimately related to death. But folks, everything that's born ultimately dies. That's the only part of life that's actually inevitable. There's no way to avoid death, folks. There's no way to avoid leaving this body. So death isn't the important part. What's important is the time that you have here on earth and what you do with that time. And this has nothing to do with acquisition of material gain while you're here. What's more important are things like, what perspective have you gained of reality during your stay here? What information have you gathered to take back to the source? And were you in a state of love or were you in a state of fear? Did you improve reality by your presence in it? Or did you live your life as a burden to others and therefore as a burden to yourself? What was the lessons that you gained? Who were the people that you helped? How was the code of reality further improved and further understood and further refined by your participation in it? These are the things that are the most important of all. Having these objectives for your time within this reality is all the formula that is needed for people to change the world. And everything that we see happening in the world around us is a result of people's failure to view the world in this way. The collective failure of the human consciousness to find its dharma, if you will. But we the people have the power to change this any time we choose to do so. It all comes down to free will. It all comes down to freedom of choice. Because in no matter what you do, whether you are police, whether you are military, whether you work for a mining company, whether you comply with corrupt food bills, all of these things ultimately come down to a freedom of choice. And if what you are doing or what you've been instructed to do is not an action that improves reality, then you need to ask yourself why you're doing it, why you should be required to do it. And if there is legislation that forces you to act in this way, then you need to question why that legislation is there and question who enacted that legislation and what was their ultimate purpose. Because there is only one law for all creation, and that is the law of unconditional love and service to the creation. Do the right thing in all that you do, and treat everybody as yourself in Lakesh. That's all we have to do, folks. That's all we have to do, and the whole world changes. So sure, you can act to improve your little corner of the universe, but only by following that law. Because if your intention in improving your little corner of the universe is to hide away from the rest of the universe, then ultimately you are simply being part of the problem and your alternate society is destined to eventually fail. You can change things on a local level in order to change things on a global level, but only if you apply the one law of creation to your actions. Now, I can appreciate that a lot of the topics that I've covered on the show today may seem a little bit negative to some people. It may seem like I'm looking at reality through a pair of very dark glasses at the moment. But I think it's important to bring this information to people because if you don't know the nature of the problem, then it's very difficult to grasp any concept of solution to the problem. And ultimately, I do what I do not because of any fear I might hold. I'm 54 years old, folks. There's not a lot that I need to fear. But rather, I do what I do because I care. I care for the future, for my son and for my grandson and for my great-grandson. And most deeply of all, I care for all the unborn children that have yet to spend time upon this earth. All the children that will have to live in the world that this generation is allowing to be created by their non-participation in reality. And it's all very well to have the spiritual understandings and spiritual beliefs and the true understandings of how reality works, but unless you apply these understandings to the physical world within which you live, then it's all to no avail. Ultimately, it's just a bunch of intellectual and spiritual mumbo-jumbo, and for many, sometimes a long series of self-improvement courses, which is basically just spiritual narcissism. Because it's no good improving the self until you realize that we are all part of the self. And the way you improve the self is to improve reality by your presence in it. And I do what I do because I live in the hope that humanity will grasp this concept and one day put it collectively into action. Because that's all it would take. I don't know, folks, it seems so simple to me. When I look at the world around me and I see the problems, I see through it to the division, I see what causes the division, and so it becomes glaringly apparent how to solve the situation. Get rid of the fear. That gets rid of the division. The way to get rid of the fear is to be the change and follow the one law. So let's all rise to the occasion, folks. Everybody out there, you should just occupy yourself and start being the change. Start walking the talk. Start improving reality by your presence in it. Because if everybody starts doing this, then together we can collectively reshape the entire world. And I still think we can do it, folks. I absolutely still believe that we can pull ourselves out of this muck that we are currently in. We're getting very close to the end of the show here now, folks. Thank you very much for spending the time with me that you do. Thank you for your continued letters of support. Thank you for visiting thecrowhouse.com. Thank you for simply taking the time to listen. Sometimes I feel like a very small voice, but I believe that even a small voice can make a difference if it reaches the right pair of ears. And I'm sure that one day enough people will listen to the message and it will sink in, and we will collectively be able to change things for the better. I think the frequency is rising all the time, the consciousness is rising all the time, and awareness is growing throughout large numbers of humanity and throughout the planet in general. But don't forget, folks, you're not just a spectator here. And to change reality, it takes audience participation. So don't think that your small actions are insignificant, because big change is brought about through lots and lots of small changes that are carried out by individuals just like you. And no voice is too small to make a difference. So I ask you to please never think of yourself or anything that you do as being insignificant, because nothing could be further from the truth. I'd like to put a little plug out here as well. Michael Tazarian is speaking on the Gold Coast this Sunday, the 27th of November, at Bond University at the Sarum Theatre. I've been invited along, so if you're in the area, folks, come along and have a listen to what Michael has to say. I'm sure it will be interesting. I believe the starting time is 10 a.m., and I will very likely see you there. So again, thanks for the support you've shown to me and you've shown to the show. I'd like to say thank you to anybody who has ever made a donation to the Crow House in order to keep the information flowing. I know times have been hard for everybody out there because donations have been very, very few of late. And I can appreciate that everybody is struggling, but if you ever can throw a few dollars in the kitty to help the site and to help the message continue, it is very much appreciated. I am going to try to dedicate the next month to working on the film. I do hope to have that out very early in the new year. And so I thank you for your patience on that front as well. But I will have to say goodbye for now, folks, because we are completely out of time. It's been a pleasure talking to you again today. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Cache.